Good morning. My name is Tom. Why don't we turn to Jeremiah 9:24. All right, I'll read it. But let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you today. Thank you for bringing your body here this morning just to be able to fellowship in this time of just praying, seeking after you, and to be able to sit in your presence. I pray, Holy Spirit, that God, today as we go through the Word, Lord God, Father, as we share, that God, that you would really help me, Lord Jesus, that God, that you would send your Spirit today, this morning, to help me to be able to share what's on my heart and what's been going on, and to be able to speak clearly and with clarity so that, you know, that the people can really receive what you are saying through me today, Lord God, Father. I humble myself before you. I pray that, God, let me be an empty vessel. I pray that, God, that when I speak, really, I pray that every word that comes forth would just be from you, Lord God, that I wouldn't try to, you know, manipulate it, Lord God, Father. I wouldn't try to add anything or take anything away, Lord God, Father, because this is your word, Lord Jesus, and I just really want to obey you, Lord God, Father, as I share today. So I just pray, Father, for your help again, and I pray, Lord God, that during this time that we'll be open and our hearts will be ready to receive. We thank you in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Matt, sorry, could you raise me a little bit? It's a little bit. So this morning I kind of wanted to just share with you something that's been going on in my life and just something recently that I've been kind of dealing with. And I'm hoping that as I share my story, it will bless you guys and maybe it will encourage you guys as well. But since the beginning of the early part of this year, it's probably been the most difficult part of my spiritual life. Like, it's been the most challenging, painful period of my life that I've ever experienced in my spiritual walk. And I can pinpoint it to the day when during the whole period of the fast that we did in the early part of the year, it was 21 days of fasting. I remember that during this time, God was kind of challenging me, you know, you're living in the world and you're living in my life. You have like one foot in one world, you have another foot in the other. Which are you going to choose? And then I remember distinctively during the period of the fast, I was like, you know what, God, I'm going to choose to take my foot out of the world and put my foot in your life, and I'm going to walk with you. And ever since then, I remember it's been so hard. Like, I've been attacked, I've been disappointed, I've been discouraged, everything, every negative emotion you can think of, I've been feeling it. And, you know, it was a real battle because I felt like I was doing the right thing. Like, you know, like, I'd go into prayer, I'd be like talking to God, I'd be like, God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to serve? Like, how's church leader? How can I improve, God? How can I do something that I will really lead, you know, my people there, my members there? How can I make them effective Christians? You know, like, God, even like, you know, you've put me in a position as an elder now, you've anointed me. So what do I do? Like, how do I lead the church now, you know, on a grander scale? What do I do? And it was a real struggle because I felt like the more I was pressing in, I felt like the more God felt like he was getting distant, right? My intimacy was really kind of taking a step back. And I was kind of getting a little upset. I was like, you know, God, where are you? You know, like, I thought, you know, I'm doing this because I've made this commitment to say I'm following you, right? I'm saying no more of this world. I'm going with you. Then why is it so difficult? Why is it so hard? And this had been happening for about 6 months, which is a long time. And then a couple weeks ago, if you guys remember, Pastor Nate was sharing a message, and he was talking about that secret place, going into the hidden secret place where God dwells and just really seeking after him, spending time, dedicated time, being in solitude, being alone with God and just being in his presence and hearing him. So, you know, that message really spoke to me. So I was like, you know what, then I'm going to try that. So for that, I'm still doing it now. So what I decided was I committed, okay, every morning, lunchtime and night, I'm just going to go into a quiet place. I'm just going to seek God. I'm going to shut up. I'm going to be quiet. I'm just going to seek, you know, what he's trying to say. And then after a couple, you know, first day, like, nothing happened. I was kind of, like, bored. I was, like, sitting there. I was, like, nothing's different and stuff. But after a couple of days, you know, like, instead of being so angry, I was kind of like, you know, God, just what am I doing wrong? That was my question. I said, you know, what am I doing wrong that I feel like you're so distant? And then God, and then God started kind of like pressing my heart. And he was kind of like, why are you doing all these things for me? That was the question he posed to me. And I was like, what do you mean, why am I doing all these things for you? I told you I've committed my life. I'm doing all these for you because, you know, I love you. And then the thing that he said was, why do you think you have to do all these things for me to love you? You know, he was like, when you commit your life to me, I never asked you that your commitment to me was to do all these things for me, right? I mean, what he was saying was that when I ask you to follow me, when I ask you to commit your life to me, I'm not telling you that you have to be a house church leader. I'm not saying you have to serve on the worship team. I'm not saying you have to be an elder. That's not what I'm trying to let you do. You know, like, I love you for who you are. I love you for all that, you know, like, just everything you are. And then the thing that he said to me was, all I desire for you is just to know me. And then I said, what do you mean? And he says, don't do anything. Just get to know who I am. And ever since that point, my kind of, like, the way that I would do things, the way that I would kind of direct my spiritual life changed. But I just, you know, like, I realized that when I made that commitment to say to God that I will, you know, like, I choose all the, you know, just completely 110% to follow him, I realized I became a real God pleaser, which in itself doesn't sound like a bad thing, right? You're like, yeah, God, I just want to please you. I want to please you. But then that kind of took the focus away from really just trying to seek after him, right? You're like, God, I want to please you, so I'll do this for you. I want to please you, so I'll do this for you. So it became very task-orientated. And then almost in the sense that I thought, you know, love stems out of doing things. I mean, like, Pinay talks about love being a verb, yes, but I think God's kind of like a little different. You know, like, God's like, if you know me, you'll love me, and then he loves us despite what we do and stuff. But that's what God was kind of stirring in my heart. And, you know, just as a side note, this was also something that God spoke to me about. And then this is not the point of what I want to share, but I thought maybe you guys might be blessed by this. But, you know, God really loves you just the way you are. You know, like, he doesn't, like, when God sent his son to die on the cross for you guys, he didn't send this, you know, he didn't send Jesus to die because he thought, you know, Mooney, you know, when you give your life to me, like, I know that you're going to do this for me, this for me, this for me, and this for me. That's why I'm going to send Jesus to die for you, right? That's not what he's like. He's not looking at, you know, me. He's not looking at you. He's saying, you know, I see the potential of what you can do for me. That's why I'm going to send my son for you, right? When God sent his son to die for you, he saw everything about you, right? He saw your life before you knew him. He knows you where you are now. He knows what you're going to be like in the future. He knows all the good things you have done. He knows all the great things you have done. He knows all the bad things you have done. And despite all these things, like, everything about you. And he was like, you know, I love you so much that I'm still going to do it. And then it's pleased him to crush his son. So, you know, take that with you. Just remember that God loves you just the way you, who you are. And for me, the way that that message really kind of kicked in was when God kind of reminded me of Judas, right? You know, like, Judas, we all know, was the one disciple who kind of, you know, stabbed Jesus in the back, and he kind of, like, you know, he was the one who betrayed him and stuff. And, you know, the thing I remember was, you know, it wasn't like Jesus was standing there and then Judas betrayed him, and Jesus was like, whoa, it was you, Judas, you betrayed me. Like, I can't believe you did this, right? Jesus knew from the very beginning who was going to betray him, right? If I was in Jesus' shoes and I knew that Judas was going to betray him, you know, I'm gonna make his life pretty difficult, right? He wouldn't be the guy who's handling my money. That's the first thing, right? He would probably be the guy who's gonna start washing, like, donkeys. I don't know. He'd be the guy who would get the most dirtiest menial job because, you know, like, I know what this guy's gonna do to me. I'm gonna make him suffer. This is my flesh speaking. But, you know, Jesus knew that. And if you see, you know, you never see a trace in this Bible, the whole Bible, of Jesus ever, you know, being a little bit mean or being a little bit harsher to Judas, right? I mean, he entrusted him with the finances, which is one of the most important things one of the most important responsibilities that any of these disciples could have had. So that's for you guys. And then going back to the passage, right? So God said to me that he wants me just to know him. And when I heard this, then I was kind of reminded back of a passage in Deuteronomy chapter 4. I'll read it for you really quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 4, 29. Yeah. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search for him with all your heart and all your soul. All right? And then when I was reminded of this passage, I was like, I noticed that, you know, when it says here, you know, where'd it go? You will find him if you search for him with all your heart and all your soul. I realized that it's missing with all your mind. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, I was like, it's like a new little revelation for me. Because I did try to explain a lot of things in my mind. I was trying to rationalize why God wasn't doing some things, why he was, you know, making me suffer. And they go through this kind of stuff. And I realized that it's really seeking after God. You know, if you just seek him with your heart and with your soul, you know, you will find him. And, you know, I encourage you guys to do the same. But, you know, the fundamental message, just going back, is for you guys, is in our Christian lives, we all tend to focus on what we feel like God wants us to do. You know, like, I mean, even in our prayer lives, we direct it in such a way where we're like, you know, God, what is your will for me, right? You know, God, what is your will? Please, you know, what should I do in this situation? And, you know, I feel like many of us at times, because we focus so much on trying to figure out God's will, we kind of lose, we don't make that effort just to know who God is. And, you know, I just want you guys to, you know, remember that knowing God is a first step, right? That's the first thing that he wants us to do. Whatever we do after that, that's just an overflow of, as you know, of the things when you get to know him and stuff. And I kind of like our SP slogan, because it says here, to know him, to be like him, to make him known. And, you know, before I used to see these as three different steps, right? Like three different objectives for us as a church, right? We want to get to know him. We want to be, you know, we want to find out who he is. Then we want to, you know, be like him. We want our lives to be transformed. And then, you know, and then I guess it could be like going deeper, and then this could be going wider, where we go out and we make him known and stuff. And, you know, for me personally, I used to see these things as three different objectives and three different goals, right? As a spiritual life, step one is this, step two, and then step three. But then what God was kind of speaking to me was like, you know, like getting, you know, to be like him and to make him known, don't see it as kind of an objective or a goal, right? What God was saying to me was, just forget about these things for a minute and just get to me to know me, right? Because what he was saying to me was like, as you get to know me, you will be more like me and you will make him known, right? It's not like, do this and then do this and then do this. He was saying, as you get to know me, as you are knowing who I am, my character, how I think, how I act, how I behave, you naturally will become changed and you naturally we'll start making him known just simply by who you are and stuff. So that's what he spoke to me about. And then I hope, you know, for you guys in your spiritual walk, don't expend all your efforts on trying to please God by doing all these things. That's basically my bottom line. Just seek after him. Just get to know him. Right? In your prayer times, you know, like, asking for God's will is a good thing, don't get me wrong. But you know what? You know, like, try asking other questions. Like, you know, like, God, who are you? Like, right? What are you like? Like, what do you like? Or what are your thoughts and things like that? Because I think the more revelation of, as we get more revelation of who God is, I think we're going to grow deeper in love for him. Because I am convinced that the more you know Jesus, the more you know God, the more you will fall in love with him. There's no way that you can know God and not love him, right? There's just absolutely no way. And, you know, as that happens, let everything overflow out of that. So I'm just going to ask Mooney to come up and lead us in worship. But why don't we take a moment to close our eyes? And then, you know, just to take some time to reflect. And I kind of want you guys to ask yourselves this question, right? Like, have I been fixating so much on the work aspect of my Christian walk, trying to find out what God wants me to do, that I've kind of forgotten who He is. Right? Maybe some of us, we feel like, you know, I know God now, right? Like, when I got saved, I know Jesus. So I kind of know what He wants and stuff. But, you know, that's not necessarily true, because God's really, like, you know, He's grand, He's great. So we can never stop knowing Him. So take that time to reflect. And then, you know, like, at the same time, what I mentioned before, why don't you spend some time just asking God, who are You? You know? I mean, even in the Bible, you hear people asking, like, who is this man? You know, who is this? In the same way, you can go to Him and ask Him too, you know, like, who are You, Jesus? Who are You, God? You know, who are You in my life? And, you know, my prayer is that for every one of you guys today, that, you know, each and every one of you, you would get to know Him in a new way today. You know, like, that you would experience a new side of His character, a new side of His personality. So let's take this time to pray, and then John will lead us in song.
aroma will suffer. Though there's pain in the offering, bless you, dear me. Divine blessing you pour out, I turn back to pain. When the darkness closes in, all see and say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name.
Why don't we turn to our group prayer focus for today? Let's pray for our mission focus. Let's pray for China. Let's pray for Chong family, for Jane, John, and their three sons, Daniel, Sam, and Joseph. Let's pray for them in the works that they do. Let's pray for Matt and Nate's parents in Qingdao. Let's pray for the kids in Chichihar. Let's also lift up the Chinese government. Let's pray that, you know, that God would really take back authority in that nation. And let's pray for all the churches there as well. Let's pray for all the churches, you know, above ground as also underground as well, that God would continually move powerfully in those places. And let's also lift up the Beijing church plant. Let's pray for Pastor Sam Kim and for Chris, who Chris will be going in a month time, and I think Pastor Sam Kim will be going in a couple months. But let's pray that, you know, even right now, as they're continually praying and they're, you know, pressing in to really, you know, do God's work, that, you know, that He would just really bless them and anoint them. So let's lift up China.
Bibles, Lord God, Father, and preaching your gospel, Lord Jesus, that there will be so much passion, let there be no room for error in the translations. But God, let your spirit be the one that leads them to truth, Lord God, Father. We pray, Holy Spirit, for the Chichi, our kids. I pray that, God, Father, may they be able to feel the love and the affection of their Father, Lord God, Father. Thank you for government, for the churches as well. Let them just be so submitted unto you, Lord God, Father. Would you take the rightful place, Lord God, as the head of this nation, Lord God. And that, God, that you would allow these places to be infiltrated, Lord God, Father, by your people, Lord God, men and godly men and women who have a desire, Lord God, Father, to make your gospel known, Lord God, Father. We pray, Father, for revolution, Lord God, Father, for revival to occur, Lord God. We pray for Beijing as well, for Pastor Sam Kim and for Chris, Lord God, Father. Let them be the leaders, Lord Jesus, Father. Holy Spirit, Lord God.
Let's lift up also our SP staff. As you may know, all of them are out of Hong Kong. Some of them are in Sydney, some of them are in the States, some are in Japan. A couple of them are in Japan. But let's just pray that wherever they are, that God's, you know, watching over them, that, you know, that, you know, even being out there, that they are getting refreshed in the Spirit. You know, that God is really just bringing a new wave of refreshment into their lives, so that they'll be just really, you know, that they'll have a good time out there. And when they're back here in Hong Kong, that they'll be raring to go, that they'll be ready to continue God's work faithfully. Let's also lift up the elder board. I think there's about 7 of us. Please pray that, you know, that the elder board would have a lot of wisdom, a lot of discernment to hear what God wants, you know, us to do as a church body, that we would hear His vision, and that we wouldn't allow any of our own agendas, our own desires, to get in the way of what God wants to do. Let's also lift up the missions committee as well. Let's pray that the missions directors, that they would know how to distribute the funds in the effective manner, that they would know how and where to sow seeds to further God's kingdom in different nations, as well as locally here in Hong Kong as well. So let's lift up the staff, the board, elder board, and the missions committee. Let's also pray for the other ministries here. Let's pray for Fabian Ministry, for Pastor Salomon, and for Mimi, and for the kids, that they would continually be really that light in Hong Kong for this community. Like this, you know, like that they would really be able to be an open home where, you know, these people, these Indonesian people, that they can come and that they can feel like this is a place where they belong. That they would feel the love and the affection of their Father as they walk into that place. And, you know, that God would just use Pastor Salomon so powerfully to be able to preach the truth to them. Because many of them come from, you know, different religious backgrounds and stuff. But I pray, you know, let's just pray that Pastor Salomon would have so much anointing that when he is preaching the good word, right, that these people, when they come and they hear it, that they are, that their eyes are open and they realize that God, you know, that He is the only one and He is the only way. And so let's just pray for them. Let's pray for the family as well, for the kids, that they would just, and that God would just continually bring this family closer and closer together as a family, and as well as a family in God. So let's pray for them. And let's also pray for the Korean church as well. Let's pray for the new pastor that's been here for a couple of months now. Let's also pray that he would just bring revival into that place, that he would just bring new words, new insights, new revelations, so that this church can really, you know, be stirred up in their faith, and that they would just be a church that is on fire for God. So let's pray for the Fabian Ministry and the Korean church. And finally, let's pray for SP 1.5, our new home, which we'll be moving into in October. Just so you guys know, we've signed our lease with China Chem. So we've done the signing from our side, and now we're pending China Chem to sign from their side, and then the documents will have to go to the registry to get the final approval. So it's quite important that we get all this done quite soon, because the way that we've scheduled it is that, you know, construction will begin immediately as soon as the Vine leaves their location. And then, you know, if we are, and then we need to submit our designs and everything for approval as well. And it's everything is built in such a way that we are quite pressed for time. So let's just pray, you know, that God would just release the signatures, that he would give us, grant us favor by the registry, so that they would just swiftly approve everything, and that, you know, all our designs would go through and they'd be approved. And that anything else that logistically we need to prepare in advance, that would also happen as well. But let's also just pray for this new sanctuary as well. You know, like, we're moving because obviously we don't have space, but also because, you know, we want others to come as well. And we just want this place to be a home that's welcoming to everybody. And let's just pray in faith for those new people that will come to that church, that they would come to Solomon's Porch, that they would, you know, like, the thing that I got was that, you know, that when we moved to this place, that Solomon's Porch would really become the porch of Solomon's Porch, right? Basically that all people would be able to come to this place, right? Like, that was an area where everyone could come to hear God's word. And that's the thing that I've been really feeling, that God's saying that this is going to be a place where anyone is welcome, all religions, all race, all ages, all gender, that everyone will just be able to be welcome in that place, and that they would hear the word of God and that they would be changed. So let's just pray that that would be, you know, that vision would be released in that place as well. And yeah, be excited. I mean, it's a really exciting time. Father, so we just thank you for today, Lord God. Father, we thank you that, God, that you call each and every one of us to seek you, Lord God, Father, to know you. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that, you know, we thank you for the word, Lord God, that we know that, God, that the Bible is not a book about rules, and it's not a book about, you know, teaching us how to do things or how we should live our Christian life, but it's just really a book about a relationship, and it's just a book about how you want your people and how you love your people and how you desire for us to know you. So I just pray, Holy Spirit, that today, that as we go about, you know, in our workplaces, at schools or wherever, Lord God, Father, that you would just really bring new insights, Lord God, that you would help us to see you, help us to experience you in a new and a profound way, Lord God, that we can be able to grow deeper as we get to know you on another level, Lord God, Father. I pray, Holy Spirit, would you just bless them where they are as well, Lord God, Father. I pray, Father, for favor from the people around them. I pray, Holy Spirit, that who they are would impact the people around them, that who they are would impact the environment around them, Lord Jesus, Father. And I pray that, God, that you would just continually use them to be effective witnesses, Lord God, in that place, Lord Jesus. I pray, Father, for wisdom, discernment. I pray, let them be all the fruit of the Spirit today, Lord God. Let them be patient in the things that they do. Let them be loving. Let them be kind. All right, and I pray, just God, just bless them in all that they do. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.